Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to share a little bit, and then Ryan's going to share a little bit. And okay, I just wanted to share. I want to start off with my little fish story from when I was like 10 years old. Because I was thinking about it the other day, and it sort of has to do with faith. It was my first experience with faith. And so I was brought up on a lake, and I was in the front, and I was down by the lake, and it was like in the spring. And in the spring, the fish, they like to swim up close to the top because it's warm, you know, especially like bluegills and the little ones. And there was somebody down there trying to spear these little fish, and I thought, man, this is just too easy, and I didn't feel right about it. So I kind of fixed my focus on these fish. And it's like, I'm thinking in my head, you're not going to do it. I knew that if I focused on these fish, they weren't going to be able to spear them. You know, so I'm like really focusing, and I'm like, sure enough, they're right there and they can't hit them. They're trying and trying. And as soon as I thought, well, it was actually laborish to do this. It was like I had to fix my focus, and it was like wearing me out mentally. And I wasn't really thinking of the Lord, I don't think. I wasn't a Christian at the time, for sure. But as soon as my focus went off the fish, they got one. So it reminded me of Peter in the boat, you know. He had his focus on Jesus. And as soon, he was fine as long as he kept his focus on Jesus. He's walking out, walking on the water. And as soon as he look at the waves and started to look at his circumstances and started looking around what's going on, he started to go down. He started to sink, right? So, kind of leads me up to this dream. So this is all kind of about faith, at least the first part of this. And I had this dream. I shared this dream here before, but I don't think everyone was here. I don't know who was here. But in the dream, there was this little boy, and he's crying. He's crying his eyes out, just really, you know, like he needs something from God. In the dream, I knew it, you know, like in the spirit or whatever. I knew he needed something from the Lord, and he wasn't getting it. And now he's got me crying. I'm crying with him, too, because I feel really bad in the dream. And then I get this revelation that we can move the Lord to tears in these situations, because he loves us. But faith, this is the revelation I got in the dream, faith moves the mountain while we're all crying. So it was just about, you know, the Lord has already released his promises on the earth, and he can't really go back and do them because he already did them. You know, like by his stripes we're healed, or God forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, or no weapon formed against us can prosper. So I guess the point of the dream is you got to go back to those verses and swing them like a hammer, because God's word is like a rock that a hammer. Well, God's word is like a hammer. And the problem's like a rock. And if you keep swinging the problem with the hammer, the problem will go away over time. I mean, it'd be great if it happened like instantly. But, you know, Jeremiah 23:29 says, is my word not like fire? Is it not like a hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? So the rock is whatever your situation is. So what I'm saying is, if you just pick out some Bible verses and just keep swinging them at your problem, whatever the problem is, you know, healed by Jesus' stripes, whatever your problem is, he's promised us a hope and a future, and he's going to take care of us. He's going to watch over us. It's just, there's tons of promises. And there's just one more thing I wanted to share, because this is kind of like, this is an interesting thought that I've been thinking of. God knows the beginning from the end, or from the beginning to the end, right? All the way through. He He knows everything that's going to happen in your life all the way through. So I was thinking, well, I believe there's this thing called prayer on credit. I know it sounds funny, but here's an example. So somebody dies that you love, and they died, I don't know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, however long ago. And you start thinking about them, and you don't know if they were a Christian, but you're praying for them. You're praying. What you do is you pray, Lord, you knew this. You knew I was going to pray this prayer now, 40 years after this person died. You knew that I was going to do it. And so I just pray that in that moment between life and death, that they had a moment to make a decision to come home, you know, to get right with the Lord. So, I don't know, I guess that's about all I really got, but I know that's an interesting thought, but I do believe the Word backs it up, because it does say that He knows the beginning from the beginning to the end, you know. Our whole walk, the whole everything. He knows what you're going to do. He knows everything you've done, everything you're going to do. Isn't that crazy? Okay, all yours.
You can keep going if you want, Joe.
I don't really have anything else. Not really. I do have one more thing. That's right. I did have one more thing I wanted to share. This is good, too. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. So, if you have like any kind of sickness or disease or anything like that, all that stuff's in the under the curse, Deuteronomy 28. So Kenneth, I thought this was great. He says, so what you do is you take your problem and you say, oh, I have whatever, say you got like, I got a bone broke in my back or something like that, or a fractured back and or whatever. And you say like, well, that is part of Deuteronomy 28:61. But Galatians 3:13 says, I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So even though that is under the curse, you just say, well, Lord, you redeem me from that, and you just keep, and the deal is you keep repeating it over and over and over, over and over and over, all night long, all day long, as many, you know, just like he just said, you just keep going at it. And I don't know if you guys realize that or know that Kenneth Hagin was healed from a lot of, he had like three or four different life-threatening diseases. He almost died. I mean, he did. He was on his way out, but great man of faith, so. Guess that's it.
We just lift tonight up to you, Lord. We dedicate tonight to you. We say, have your way. We fix our eyes on you, Lord. You are so good. You're so good to us. You never fail us. Your promises are never ending and never failing. And we just thank you, Lord, for your waves of mercy and grace. Lord, we just say, have your way within us. And I feel like I'm just supposed to say right now and release and just say, peace be still over you right now. Peace be still. Receive his peace. Receive his goodness in Jesus' name. Well, I was telling the guys when I came in, anybody else see the rainbow when they came in or not? It's amazing that how the Lord will give you confirmations of his promises that are true. And, you know, the Lord gave me a download, which I don't usually when I come up here, it's just on the fly. So this is a little different for me, but, It's funny how he ties everything together. You know, Joe is talking about faith. And what I have written down as the title is Faith as a Mustard Seed. So, and so it's cool how he ties everything together. you know, faith really is that seed. And like Joe was saying, that seed can be planted in good soil or bad soil. You could plant that seed of faith in the Word and what the Word says, or you could plant that seed of faith in a lie, what the enemy says. And that's called doubt and fear. And so we're going to talk a little bit about faith today. And so there comes a time when the Lord was telling me, there comes a time when you have to decide that this is 100% truth, that everything in this is 100% truth. It's the established Holy Spirit breathed Word of God. And until you make that choice, you really are your own Lord. You're your own God over your own life. You'll pick and choose what biblical teachings make sense in your own world, and you'll just, whatever makes sense to you, you'll pick out of here, but whatever doesn't, you'll shun. So you'll say, well, this is true, but I just can't believe this. You know, I believe, Lord, that you can heal me, but the tongues, I don't really know if that's for me. But what's the Bible say about that? It says, build your house upon the rock, the Word. It does not say build my house upon your rock. So we have to be really careful and make a decision that every single thing that we believe, everything that we know to be true, is grounded in the Word of God. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, like, for example, even when it doesn't look like it's true. So, you know, if the Word of God were to say, you know, John, your shirt is blue. Well, it doesn't look blue, but what does the Word say? The Word says it's blue. So I'm going to believe that your shirt's blue, because I'm not going to believe what I see through my carnal. Okay, carnal just means senses, what you see, hear, touch, taste, smell, blah, blah, blah. That faith is by the Spirit, okay? So really you're placing, you know, if you're picking and choosing, you're the Lord over your own life. What you're really saying is you're placing your own thinking and common sense above the Bible, okay? And God's just really a convenience to you. You're only believing whatever fits and benefits your thinking or your own God box of religion. Okay? So yet we have to make a choice not to filter what the Bible says through our own human mind and judge what should and shouldn't be. No, it is because it is, because the Bible says it is. Right? So it's really important that we know our Word and that we base everything on this Word, on the spiritual realm, and not on our carnal senses. Okay, so it's a choice to believe the Word of God as the ultimate highest truth in spite of all circumstances. Heavenly realm truth that's higher, a higher priority, it supersedes, overrides, and at times it can oppose the natural laws of our natural world. Okay, so once that's established in you, then it really gets fun. And you can see who you are. You can see who God is by what the Word says. So we're going to talk a little bit about your identity. So I want you to think back to your past and what things in your past have happened to you that may have changed how you value yourself or how you think of yourself. You know, maybe it's something that someone said about you or an experience you had, because we do tend to place our identity and our thinking on what others say about us, the world standards, past experiences, our past mistakes, failures, even successes. What kind of job we have, etc. So let me give you a little bit of an example of this. I read a story called, what was it called? The Child Called It. Has anybody read that? Basically, this was a story about a kid. It's a true story about a child that grew up in a home with some brothers and sisters, but he grew up in a really abusive situation where his mother called him names, abused him verbally, abused him physically, denied him food, you know, starved him, made him eat his own vomit, etc., etc. Just a really terrible situation. Basically, his mom told him that he was so worthless, said this straight to his face, he was so worthless that he didn't even deserve to be called a human being. He was just an it. And so he grew up believing those lies. And the reason why I tell you that is think about how what those things that he was experienced as a kid, how that affect how he saw himself and how he identified his value. Now, thankfully, I don't really remember the whole story because I read it a long time ago, but I do know that obviously he found truth and he's helped a lot of other people since then. But the reason why I brought that up is because I feel like the Lord is saying this. Jesus does not place his value on you based on what people think or say about you. Jesus does not place his value on you on your past failures. Jesus does not place his value on your past choices. He does not place his value on you based on the bad things that have happened to you in the past or good things. And he does not place his value on you based on your current struggles and your current strongholds. Okay, so many of you may not have gone through that extreme of circumstances, that child, but there are things that we experience that we might not even think affect how we view ourselves, but that do. So it's kind of like, have you ever seen those mirrors that warp your image yeah. when you look at them? It's almost like you're looking at one of those mirrors and you've looked at it for so long that that's what you believe you actually look like, if that makes sense. And so what the Lord is looking for to do is to help us. And all I have to say is Spirit, Holy Spirit, help. So he wants to unhook how you view yourself and your identity off of your past and your experiences and all the things that we talked about. And he wants to place the hook on how he sees you. Okay? So if Jesus doesn't place his value of us on those things, then why should we? You know, that's, for me, I tend to be my own hardest critic at times. So it's a good reminder to always go back to, what does the Word say? So how does Jesus value us? What is our identity in him? What does the Word say about who we are? What do you guys know? What does the Word say about who we are? What's a promise that the Lord says about us?
In our spirit, man, we're perfect. The seed that he put in us when we asked Jesus to become our Lord is a perfect thing.
Amen. We are beautifully and wonderfully made.
Precious.
What else? Precious. More valuable than rubies.
Made in his image.
I have some declarations. Forgive me, some of you have heard these. I talked about these, I think, a month or two ago. But there was one day the Lord just put it on my heart to write down a bunch of his promises. And these are all things that can be attached to a verse. They're all truth. So I want to read these out loud. And John mentioned our spirit man, and we're going to get into that a little bit. But this is what the Lord says about who you are in the spirit, your perfect spirit, and about who he is. The Lord is our joy. He's our strength. He gives us fullness of joy. We are full of laughter. We're full of dancing. Nothing, no one, no power can ever steal our joy. Our trust is in God and God alone. The Lord guides us in all our ways and all our decisions. He gives us wisdom. We have the mind of Christ and discernment. The Lord clears a path before us. He gives us the words to speak. He surrounds us with his angels, and they pick us up. He bears us up on wings like eagles. He's given us all wisdom and knowledge. He's our strong tower and dwelling place and hides us under his wing. No weapon that's formed against us will prosper, and he's put a hedge of protection around us. His shield surrounds us and deflects the arrows of our enemies. He brings confusion to the enemy's camp, and he lifts us up like the eagles. Our steps are ordered of the Lord, each and every one. We lean not on our own understanding, but we trust the Lord, and he makes our path straight. Our bank account is in heaven. We are rich. We are blessed. He has poured out his riches on us. We are tithers and givers. We walk in plenty and abundance. We walk in favor wherever we go. We have abundant finances, exceeding, abundant, above all that we can even imagine. The Lord's given us all authority. He is opening up our eyes and our ears. Our sins are completely forgiven. We are pure. We are made righteous. We are one with the Lord. Our desires align to God's heart. We have a perfect spirit. Our mind, will, and emotions need to be aligned with our spirit. Lord gives us breakthrough. He tears down the walls between us. He wraps his love around you. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you from him. You are accepted, not rejected. You are loved. You love yourself. You're made in his image. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a beautiful creation. You are more precious than rubies. You are cloaked in robes of righteousness. You are armed with the armor of God, in season, ready for battle, always victorious in every area. You have the mind of Christ. It is sharp. It thinks clearly. You have no fogginess. You have sound sleep, sweet dreams, deep rest. You reveal yourself. God reveals himself in your dreams. You direct us in our dreams. You give us visions. You open our eyes to the things of the Spirit. We can eat or drink any deadly thing, and it will not harm us. our body functions normally, organs functions normally, cells function normally, blood function normally. We'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. We have abundant life, abundant energy. We don't carry pain. We don't carry sickness. We don't have the spirit of addiction. No disease will touch us. All sickness will fall to the ground. We're always in peace. Though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil. We don't have a spirit of anger, but of sound mind. We operate in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We operate in all the gifts of the Spirit. We heal the sick. We have healing power. It runs through our veins. We raise the dead. We prophesy. Miracles, signs, and wonders flow through you constantly. We deliver good news, unashamed, unhindered. The enemy has no hold of you, can't touch you. His words don't apply to you. You're set free. You're victorious, full of power. It's bursting out of you. You're bold. You trample on snakes and scorpions and over every evil thing. Your words have power. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. You change the atmosphere when you walk into the room. You're knit close with, you're even one with the Lord. So that's just a little tidbit. It's a little, you ever see like the picture of the iceberg, what's above the surface and then below? That was just a little tidbit on the top of the iceberg. Then you still have the rest of the iceberg, and then you have a big mass underneath the water of things to search out about who you are in the Spirit. Your spirit is perfect, and that just gives you a glimpse at what your spirit looks like and how Jesus looks at you. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, you might say, well, I don't really feel like all those things. It's funny, we were saying that, I think, before we started, when we were practicing today. We were saying, we don't feel something. Well, when you're talking about feeling, that's your carnal senses, right? That's your what you smell, taste, touch, and that is your soul. Okay, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. It is your flesh. It is not perfect. Okay, we all have a soul. It's not perfect. So when you feel something, you are using your soul. Okay? Our soul is always being renewed by relationship with the Holy Spirit and by reading the Word, renewed every day to become closer to our spirit, which is perfect. When you were born again, not only do you have your soul now, which is imperfect, you now have a perfected spiritual being. It's called your spirit man. Okay? So when you don't feel like those things, well, yeah, you're not in your flesh. You're not in your soul. You're not your mind. You know, you might still have a bad thought, or, you might have a bad day with your emotions. The Lord gives us grace for that. All I have to say is, Lord, I'm sorry. Teach me how to walk more in the Spirit. Okay? Your spirit is perfect, and there's nothing you can do, say, that will ever change that, besides renouncing the Holy Spirit. So,
the declarations, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
You're speaking, the power of the tongue has, you know, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. So we are actually speaking those things into existence, even though they may not have manifested yet.
That's good. That's true.
So you just keep, that's why you keep, like, when I was talking about Bible verses, you keep speaking them out. You're speaking them to the problem. You're speaking that problem away, actually, is what you're doing. And the more you do it, once your spirit starts to actually believe it, then it's a done deal.
Yeah. That's that seed of faith that's in the truth, right? Once your spirit believes it, that's the seed that's grounded.
That's kind of like the key. That's why you got to keep at it, you know.
Calling those things that are not. What's that verse, John? Calling those things. Calling those things that are not as though they were.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. It's one of the faith verses.
Yeah.
And it's war. It's not easy.
We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind through Christ Jesus. So our flesh man, our soulish man, is on this continuous transformation process.
Amen.
Now until the day we get home.
Amen.
But we can take some ground and territory on our journey and get a little further along the road, you know, in terms of our soulish man.
Yeah.
But to recognize that we're a spirit man deep inside of who we are, it's kind of foreign to most people.
Yeah.
Very foreign. They don't see
it. Well, a lot of people beat themselves up.
Yeah.
You know, they say, oh, I sinned, you know, I did this or that, and, you know, Lord, I can't be in your presence, or I can't do this, you know, or they build up a wall because, you know, they're seeing what they did, where the Lord's like, I don't even see that. I see you in this, your perfect spirit man. I've already forgiven that on the cross. You know, so, you know, where's the key with this? It's recognizing we have a soul and spirit, that our soul is messed up. It's messed up, but that the Lord helps us work on those things. He's not accusing us, and he's not mad at us for those things. He's always there to help us get through and break through strongholds. He's not there to condemn. You know, he hasn't come to condemn us, the word says, but to give us life. So just going back to the whole soul spirit thing, you know, the word says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. Okay? So, again, when you're born again, your soul is still not perfected. You're still imperfect. It's constantly being renewed, molded, and perfected. You still have your mind, thoughts, you still have emotions, and you still have a will. This is your flesh. Flesh, spirit. Okay? Your flesh still makes mistakes. Once you're born again, you're given a perfect spirit. This is your new identity in Christ, and this is how Jesus sees you. Okay, that's your real identity. This is your identity. This is how you should see yourself. It can't be, your new identity can't be felt with your carnal senses. Okay, the only way to know who you are in the spirit is to read about it in here, in the Word, and to believe it by faith. And that's where we're going back to. We have to make a decision that this is 100% truth. Okay, so we're not even to view, judge, or value ourselves according to our own flesh, our past, what people say about us. Doesn't matter. That's the way 99% of the population, 99.999% of the population has their identity, is in that realm, that soulish realm of what people say about them, their past, how successful they are. Okay, but the word says we're not to do that. We're supposed to value ourselves the way Jesus does. Okay? And then, when you decide that this is 100%, you can gauge where you're at. You know, it doesn't mean we go on sinning. Romans says by no means. If we go on intentionally sinning, knowing that's wrong, then there remains no sacrifice for sin. That's actually a scary verse. Is that Romans?
I think it's Hebrews.
I think it's Hebrew, yeah. Yep. I wrote down Romans, but I think it's Hebrews. So we're not to be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our soul, mind, will, and emotions should be transformed and renewed every day, conforming to the Word of God. Okay, this is our measuring stick. It will tell you exactly where you're at. It will tell you where you are full of faith and where you are ye of little faith. And, you know, as the saying, as you read the Bible reads you, meaning the Holy Spirit will help you. You know, just say, Holy Spirit, help. What are we working on today? Holly and Lori say that all the time. And he'll show you. He'll give you rhema words, which I believe John's an expert with this, but I think those are words that kind of jump out at you, right, John? That
when you're reading the word, you go along, logos is the words on a page.
Yeah.
Words on a page, words up on a page, and then all of a sudden, boom, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Bam!
Yeah.
It was a rhema word for me that I've lived with today.
Yeah.
Because it hit me and becomes part of who you actually are.
Or it could be something that someone says, right? Correct? In their message. That could also be a rhema word.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is working through somebody's message. That can be a rhema realization, if you will, like something that changes your whole life, you know?
Yeah.
It's got the juice.
Yeah. Okay, so again, it comes down to knowing the word. You know, I Rachel has this new job where she's working. She's helping clean this house. It's not just an ordinary house. It's on Geneva Lake, and it has something like 500 bathrooms or something. I think it has 7 or 8 bathrooms, 15 bedrooms.
Imagine.
Blah, blah, blah. So if I went in there, I would get lost. She brought me in there and showed me around, and I needed a tour just to get through the place. But that's what the word says. That's a reflection of the word, right? Is we're to search out who we are, who God is. It's like that mansion that you open up a door and you see something new. And then what do you know? There's another door, and you go through that one. And it's really never ending. You're always continually trying to learn more about who God is. That's funny because I used to, back in the day, I'm 33 right now. Everybody thinks I'm 18, but when I was in Sunday school, as a kid, I went to a more formal church, and I remember not wanting to go to Sunday school because I told my mom, I go, Mom, I already know everything that they're teaching me, which was true. I actually did know everything that they were saying. I knew a lot of it, but what happens is, as you read the word, what do you find out? The more you read, the less you know. Or the more you realize that you have a lot more to learn. It's a fun thing. It's fun to search and explore who God is, who we are. So I just encourage you with that. And then just one more thing. I'm just closing up here. Just one more thing. The Lord told me a few weeks ago, and I'm still kind of chewing on this, but he said... He asked me, he goes, which sin is the worst? And I, you know, I was thinking about it. And usually when the Lord asks you a question, you know, you don't really want an answer. He doesn't want an answer. He just wants you to, you know, think about it. Obviously, besides the renouncing the Holy Spirit or blaspheming, what's he say about sin? It's all the same to him, right? Sin is sin, is what he says. And so that's what, you know, when he was with the Pharisees, walking around, you know, and the Pharisees were always trying out to get him. What'd he say? He always brought it back to, you know, Pharisees, they were all focused on external, right? Oh, he did this. You can see, you know, outward appearances, outward sin. But the Lord focused on the heart. Right? So he's going, which sin is the worst? And I'm going, well, all sin is sin. But I'm like, why are you asking me this? Because he was teaching me about faith and his promises. And he goes, just as a sin is a sin, my promise is a promise. He goes, just as a sin is a sin, they're all the same, a promise is a promise, they're all the same. He goes, why can you read the Bible and believe that I can save you from an evil, from the world, right?
Yeah.
Why can you believe that? That's in the Bible, it's a promise. But you can't believe that that you have healing power. Or you can't believe that, name something.
That you can cast the mountain into the sea.
You can cast mountain into the sea.
Raise the dead.
Raise the dead. That's a big one.
Yeah.
And it's like, I believe, Lord, I believe, but it's like, it goes back to, that's a heart condition, right?
Yeah.
It all goes back to, just as sin, as Jesus saw sin, was a heart condition, everything stemmed from the heart, faith stems from the heart too. It's a heart condition.
There's so much more teaching about salvation than there is about the authority for healing.
Yeah.
And the gifts of healing. It's mostly always focused on get them saved, get them saved, you know?
Which is good. It's good. It's good, but there's...
Get them healed, you know?
Yeah. It's good that people get saved, but it's like there's so much more. And it's like the Lord's got to be like looking at me and like, there's so much more, like shaking us. But I know he's not like that. He's such a good God, but...
I think for me is one of the biggies, doubt and lack of trust. If I don't trust him, or if I doubt him, I'm in a stalemate, man. I can't do anything. Until I get my doubt out of the way, I can't get the tipping point of faith to heal your injury. Because I don't believe it yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to me, it's that faith and trust thing overriding doubt.
Yep.
When do we get there? How do we get there?
It's getting the promise from here to here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes through time and relationship, as you know, John. And sometimes you just have to start out small with things, but you build up that trust with him. Where I'll give you an example. This might not be perfect, but I was a teacher for 5 years, and I felt like the Lord was telling me that it was time to move on. So I quit my job before I had another one lined up. Okay, I'm married at this point. But I had to come to a place where I was like, okay, Lord, I trust that this is what you're telling me. I trust your promises are yes and amen, and you're my provision, not my job. You're my provision. I put my trust in you with my finances, and this is what you're telling me to do. So I did that. And it was like within a week or two when I made that decision and told them I wasn't coming, I had someone come to me and say, hey, I think I have a position for you at this other company. And so that was a small step that now leads to the next thing of like, what? Mm-hmm. Lord, I don't care if I get fired. I don't care if, you tell me to quit my job again. There's always another level up, so to speak, within the different areas of faith that we have for different things. So where are you at with your faith? Where are you at, with your faith for your kids or your faith for finances or your faith for your healing. You know, can you believe that he can heal your pinky toe, but that your spine is just too much for him to heal? You know, it's so that was a pretty profound thing when he told me. It was like a light bulb clicked, and it's like, yeah, just as a sin is a sin, a promise is a promise. It's right. Yes and amen.
That's really good. Yeah. Shared that one. That's great.
Yep. Yep. Amen. So.
It reminds me, I always used to say to the Lord, "Lord, what's the most important thing in the Bible? What's the most important thing in there?" Because I always thought it was, boy, you got to be born again, right? I figured that's it. I'd always tell people, I think that's what it is, you got to be born again. He corrected me in a dream. I had the dream of, you know, the woman that got caught in adultery. Mm-hmm. They were going to stone her. But he who hasn't sinned cast the first stone. That's the dream he gave me. And the message was, the revelation of that dream was, it's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
The message of his forgiveness is the most important thing in the Bible.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's good. So I just wrote a couple of things down to close up. Just as much as a sin is a sin, a promise is a promise. Just as much as the Lord looks to the heart for sin, he looks to the heart for faith. Just as the seed of sin is sown in the heart, okay, you don't just decide to go out and sin. It starts as a thought in your heart, right? Mm-hmm. Everything stems from your heart. You know, from the heart, from the heart your mouth speaks? That's a verse, right?
Yeah.
The seed?
It is. Or something like that. Very
our
close.
Heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's flesh. It's flesh, right? It's desperately, it's wicked. Everything in your flesh is wicked.
Mm-hmm. Well, most everything until it gets transformed, right?
Right, and so the Lord gives us, so when you're born again, your flesh is completely corrupt until you're born, when you're born again, he gives you, it says, a new moldable heart that's able to be renewed and reflect your spirit, man.
Yeah.
But it's not to be trusted. So that's what the word says, it's not to be trusted. Only your spirit is. So just as a seed of sin is sown in the heart, the seed of faith is also sown in the heart. Let's see. So I think that's pretty much it. I have one question. I said, how can you believe truth if you haven't read truth? How can you believe the truth if you don't know what it is? So I just supposed to, I feel like we're supposed to have a little declaration. So just say, Father, I put my full trust
in you.
Thank you, Lord. For your grace. I unhook my identity.
Off of my past.
Off of what people have said about me. And onto how you see me. I choose to follow your word, to follow your truth. Teach me.
Give me the grace.
In Jesus' name. Amen.